With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
And here we go. Welcome back to another Digital Adele Hoops Beyond the Backboard podcast for you. With my co-host, Matt Hanifin, I'm Digital Adele. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good. Hanging in there. How about you?
Yeah, that's all we could do these days. All we can do is hang in there these days. I'm super excited because there's tons of high-quality basketball going on these days. And there's a humongous college basketball game about to go down tonight in terms of our draft evaluation prep. It's really the only college game of note that's on tonight. And, you know, I'm interested to see how that's going to go. Let me pull it up. It is Alabama versus Purdue. What's up, E, on YouTube? How you doing today, Ian? Thanks for stopping by. I appreciate you. Alabama. They have LeBaron Filon. Purdue, they've got the old guy, Braden Smith. He's been doing his thing. The other guard, too, Fletcher Lawyer, he's been doing his thing. So it's going to be a clash, one of the better matchups in this early season because most of the matchups, frankly, have been very one-sided. But before I ask you your opinion on this game, I am taken aback by how few weaknesses the players in this class have shown thus far. Now, they could become more pronounced once they play better competition, but so far, they seem to be so well-rounded top to bottom in this group. What are your thoughts on that?
I just think, like, kind of what I've talked about before, I think they're going to be more pronounced as the season goes on, because it can't just be like this for everyone. Not to say there it is.
Can it? Maybe it can. Maybe we're in a golden age with unicorns everywhere, because these kids have been amazing. They have,
but it's just the competition for the most part hasn't been.
You mean Neil Kelis isn't Luka Doncic? But everybody told me he was. Come on, Matt. It's a bit. Lighten up. Anyway, yeah, I'm excited for this matchup tonight. It's going to be a really good test for both of those teams. It's going to be a great test to see how far LeBaron Filon has come.
That's really what I want to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But today, we are not talking the 2026 NBA draft class. We are looking back in our rearview mirror. It's the 2025 rookies only segment. We're covering the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, they got this small name guy on their team named Dylan Harper. Not a lot of buzz. We're covering Dylan Harper, Carter Bryant, and then we're also covering the Toronto Raptors and one, the only, Colin Murray Boyles. You know how much I love that guy's game. Anyway, we're going to start this thing off with Dylan Harper. Dylan Harper, the number two overall pick in the 2025 NBA draft. He is an electric downhill point guard. And he's really developing a chemistry with Victor Wembanyama. Talk to me about what you've seen from Dylan Harper and what you anticipate the rest of his season looking like?
It's unfortunate right now because he's out with the calf strain. Right. It's going to, I think, sideline him for at least a few weeks. Obviously, calf strains, now that we know, what happened last postseason with all the Achilles injuries and how that they're somewhat connected. I know I'm not a doctor, so.
You're not? I'm
sure that it's not,
why not?
100% true.
I think you could pass as a doctor, Matt.
I can't. but Dylan Harper's been excellent through the six game sample that he had, averaging 14 points, shooting 50% from the floor, 36% from 3-point range, 83% from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Him is a downhill creator, and I think he's done a very good, almost better than I expected, and I expect him to do this well, is getting downhill and finishing through contact. That was obviously one of his strengths when he was coming out of Rutgers, but
right.
It's obviously you want to see that actualize itself on an NBA court. And his just creativity with the ball in his hands, he's someone who has multiple combinations, and then once he gets downhill because of his upper body strength and his straight line drivability, he's able to finish and get to his spots with ease.
Right.
And even the shooting, I think, has been better than I expected, albeit on 2.5 attempts per game. It's not a crazy volume, but right. Him as a downhill creator, downhill play finisher, being able to create advantages, get 2 feet in the paint. Obviously, his availability and De'Aaron Fox, who just came back, his availability, they haven't aligned. And so I'm very interested to see what the Castle Harper Fox triumvirate kind of looks like. I'm very excited with what I've seen from Harper so far. And if it wasn't for this injury, he's been one of the best rookies in the entire league so far. And I still think when he returns, he's going to be playing at a super high level. The thing with Dylan too is he's not just good on the ball. He's been very good off the ball, relocating, cutting, doing all those things that you would want to see from someone who has to play alongside De'Aaron Fox.
And Stephon Castle.
Devin Vassell, he's very good at relocating. He's very good at cutting. He's a good off-ball mover, and he's in the right spots. And him defensively too, I didn't even mention that part. Right. He's been picking up at the point of attack and defending really well and holding his own in that area. And that was not a really a question, but something I was curious to see how that would translate. Because not that he wasn't a good defender at Rutgers, but I think he's been better than what I expected him to be this early in his rookie season. So all of those things together, he's been super fun and super awesome to watch in that kind of context.
I think you were a little lower on his point of attack defense than I was coming out, because I thought it was going to translate right away. I thought that was one of his best attributes besides getting downhill.
Was his ability to play point
of attack defense. I mean, he's been fantastic, no doubt. One of the things that's intriguing to me is he has a 25.1 assist percentage so far on the year. That's higher than Stephon Castle's assist percentage in his first year at San Antonio. So far, I mean, it's a long season. We got a long way to go. But it just shows you how good he is at facilitating compared to what he was doing at Rutgers when he didn't have anybody that could finish. We talked about that a lot during the evaluation process. Felt like he'd be a much better facilitator in the NBA than he was in college. And I just think he's done a fantastic job, running the show. Like you said, off ball, finding space, attacking downhill, cuts and curls. His jump shot still needs a lot of work. I'm not impressed with his jumper really at all. He's got to follow through higher. He's got to get his release point higher. He's got to get that elbow in, and he's got to stop drifting. He drifts a lot left and right. And a lot of that's core strength. So when you're coming from a left to right crossover or flying off a curl, you got to be able to get on balance and go straight up and down. And he drifts a lot. It's a lot of left and right. But it's stuff he can clean up, obviously. Just to piggyback on everything you said, I thought he's played outstanding, and it's unfortunate that this injury occurred, but luckily it's early in the season, and he'll be able to jump right in when he gets back. But they didn't just stop there, those San Antonio Spurs. They drafted Carter Bryant. who's also dealing with some stuff. I was actually a little concerned about this when I saw him in college. He plays a very stiff, upright type of game. And I don't know if that's like a hamstring mobility issue where he isn't stretching properly or whatnot. But it always looked to me like he'd have issues with his back because he doesn't really bend well in those scenarios. Now, he gets down in a stance. He can squat. He'll get in a stance, make his arms wide. Excellent point of attack defender. But I did always have those concerns about the way he moves in terms of his you know, malleability with stretching and pliability with his hamstrings. But what have you thought of Carter Bryant so far in the young season?
I mean, I think for him, like, he's not really getting much playing time when he has.
No.
He's getting like what? I mean, there's been a couple. I'm just looking at the game log right now. There's been a couple of games where he's gotten 10 plus minutes.
Right.
But other than that, he's mostly just come off the bench kind of in like these garbage time situations or for just very short stints rather.
Which makes sense for the, you know, the team roster they have together. Cause
exactly.
Again, Stephon Castle, Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, like he's got a lot of bodies to climb through to try to take minutes.
And obviously he's more raw. Like, I think just at minimum, you get like a high level defensive wing who can switch multiple positions. But with him, like, I think not the swing skill. I mean, he still has to improve he doesn't have a ton of ball skills really.
No,
he's not someone who's going to be like attacking closeouts or anything like that. It's just the 3-point shooting. And obviously, as we saw during Summer League specifically, like that was very like it was just very hit and miss. I think he had like one like really good shooting game and the rest were like pretty poor.
Right.
And so he wasn't adding a ton offensively. And that has kind of translated to the preseason and now to the regular season, albeit in a very small sample. Not that I'm very worried about his shooting long term. I mean, he was what? A high 30s. Yeah, 37%. Not on like crazy volume or anything, but like right. I'm not gonna completely rule that out as like I think he can get to that as an NBA player. I just think for him it's gonna take a little more time and a little more, you know, fine tuning. Right now he's not there. He's I think shooting 25 again on very low volume, like, and we're still very early into the season. But that's just something that he's going to need to improve if he wants to be like a functional role player. But at worst, you're getting like a high motor, you know, not a terrible rebounder, but like disruptive, active, switchable defender.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm interested to see how he fits in the mix because, you know, they have De'Aaron Fox, like you said. They have Stephon Castle. They got Dylan Harper. They got Keldon Johnson. Like, how's he going to navigate that? Not just this season, but going into camp, is he going to be able to beat one of those guys out? Are they going to trade somebody? It's just a very interesting scenario that he finds himself in, but also very intriguing because of his defensive skill set of what he could bring to the table for the San Antonio Spurs in the future.
Right.
We've got another person to talk about, though. It's not just done there. We got more. And that's the Toronto Raptors. Toronto Raptors. They've drafted Colin Murray-Boyles. Anybody that's watched or listened to this program, because we're here every Tuesday and Thursday to do this for you. Every Tuesday and Thursday, unless, you know, life happens. But we're here for you. We got you covered. All things NBA draft. You know, if you've listened to this program, I was not the biggest fan of Colin Murray-Boyles. People had him in like the top five, like, and I'm like, what? I just never saw it. But what have your thoughts been on how Colin Murray-Boyles has started the season with that scrappy Raptors team?
It's kind of been what we thought he would be in terms of like, okay, I think he's kind of fit in better than I expected in the sense that he's been more disruptive. I mean, he was disruptive at South Carolina defensively. He's been more disruptive than I thought he would be, at least initially at the NBA level. We had questions about like him positionally and like where he would kind of fit in there. And I think he's done like an okay job, all things considered. Like the one thing that I still have questions about is his shooting. Like he's 9 of 18 from 3-point range right now, 50%. I don't think that sustains itself, obviously.
And it's very, very low volume. Like
two attempts a game. Yeah. It's not
it's low volume.
It's not anything crazy. I think he's rebounded the ball okay, particularly offensively. I just think that, like, when I've watched him, the processing's been solid. Like, he's just been kind of like this disruptive defender off the bench. And, like, I think that's just I think he's fit into the role that they need him to be right now.
Yeah. And the question is, can he be more than that? Because as high as they drafted him, you're going to need him to be more than that to justify
at some
the
point,
draft
yeah.
pick. Yeah. And so that's really where I'm at with Colin Murray-Boyles. His rebounding's been okay. He's played, 20 minutes per game?
Yeah.
His rebound percentage is like 10.3%. It's not great. But the offensive rebounding has been more impressive than his rebound total. His offensive rebound percentage is 11.2, which is really good. So I do agree with that. I still think he's going to have issues justifying that draft position.
Sure.
His offensive game is going to struggle. It's like the Derek Queen conversation, but in reverse. It's kind of like Derek Queen in reverse. It's just an interesting, they've built a weird team in Toronto. Like, their team is kind of weird. Like, Jonathan Mogbo, undersized. Colin Murray-Boyles, undersized. Jamal Shedd, undersized guard. Like, they've got all these, like, really scrappy, undersized guys in their various units and rotations.
It's just, relative to their respective positions, we should point out.
Right. I'm not saying, like, they go to Little Havana in Miami. Like, no, they're going to be bigger than everybody. But I'm talking about relative to their positions in the NBA, for sure. Funny story, off topic. I moved out of Florida in 2010. First time ever being in Florida. I was blown away and shocked and taken aback at how all the restrooms in Miami were, like, built for small people. Because, like, the average height of a person was smaller in Florida. So they made all the facilities shorter. Yeah. I was like, why are the amenities so small? Like, why do I got to put my hands down here to wash my hands? What the heck? Why is the stall to urinate in so small? Anyway, but that was one of my observations when I first moved to Florida. I was like, what? It was just odd coming from Pennsylvania. But with that being said, I think the Spurs all around had a home run of a draft. I think Dylan Harper is going to be fantastic. They have the possibility of getting another lottery pick in this loaded 2026 class.
Like, you want to know what other team has a possibility of getting another high level lottery pick?
Hit me with it.
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh my God, that's right.
I mean, they have Utah's, I think, top eight protected pick, but after the Bradley Beal news, they have the Clippers pick, or at least the two most favorable of the Clippers. I think it's Houston and them. If I can,
that's
correctly.
Insane.
And so they'll get the two highest picks. Obviously, I think theirs is going to be the last one, so they won't get that one. Washington, our beloved Wizards, get that one. But yeah, Oklahoma City Thunder get the Los Angeles Clippers pick, who are now, I think, 3-7, something.
Dude,
something
that's looking
crazy
good
like
for
that.
The,
they lost again last night.
Looking good for OKC.
They got blasted last night. I can't remember who they were facing, but it was just like, oh my God. So that Sam Presti. That.
You know what's funny is next year people are going to go into the summer league and they're going to be like, not only do they have this 2026 pick that everybody's going to be talking about, they're going to go into summer league. They're going to be like, who is the center that is just dominating people? Oh, that's Thomas Sorber. He just sat for a year.
I just hope he's okay with his foot.
But I don't think it's his foot, though. Wasn't it an ankle or something?
Oh, no. It was an ACL. It was an ACL.
ACL. That's ACL. That's it was ACL. Yeah, ACL. Right. He'll be fine. ACLs aren't what they used to be. He'll be fine. Modern medicine will fix you right up these days with an ACL. In fact, the freaking Achilles injury is this new procedure they've been doing, the one Aaron Rodgers got, and then the one that Halliburton and Tatum got, apparently it's amazing. Drew Smith, look at what he did coming back from his Achilles.
I was going to say Drew's the example.
Dude, Drew's been unbelievable since coming back from his Achilles.
I choose not to talk about or even think about like Aaron Rodgers.
I have to. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
He's
my quarterback.
There's 52 other guys on the roster.
I mean, I think about all of them, but I mean, he's our quarterback, man. He's a quarterback.
I'll save what I want to say off camera.
No, I get it. I'm well aware of his exploits. And I am just not going to talk about those.
Good quarterback, though.
But he's a good quarterback.
At least he used to be.
Yeah, dude, he looked so old against the Chargers. Like he got hit, and then he was like, you know, I don't want to get hit anymore. That's how
it's been for 3 years.
He's like, you know what? I just don't want to get hit anymore. He's like, nope. In fact, I saw one pass where he threw the pass as he's throwing it. He just spun around to get away from the contact. And because he did that, the ball like sailed on him. And I'm like, oh, dude,
that's been Rodgers for a while.
Yeah. He's old.
For better.
And you know, the sad part is my Pittsburgh Steelers, because there's so many bad teams in the NFL right now, they're probably not going to be able to get another quarterback next year either.
You can thank Mike Tomlin for just perpetually going 500 or better.
Listen, dude, when you don't have a quarterback, what is he supposed to do, man? All he can do is get you there. He can't win the championship himself. Anyway.
Yep.
You know what's funny, too, and not to veer off in the NFL and Mike Tomlin, but when you look back at the great offenses that those teams had with Mike Tomlin, every time they got to the playoffs, Le'Veon Bell was either hurt or Antonio Brown was hurt or all of them were hurt. One playoff game, his leading receiver was a guy off the practice squad. Everybody was hurt. It was just Ben. And so like people kill Tomlin, but like they don't look at it in like actual context.
Big Ben.
Dude, Ben was awesome. What an amazing quarterback. Scumbag human being for part of
his life. I was going to say, not the best person.
But... Oh, well, he turned his life around. He did. He was a scumbag, and then he turned his life around. So, good for him.
Fun to watch, though.
Oh, my God. Amazingly fun to watch. Amazingly fun to watch. Speaking of fun to watch, it's killing me. I keep looking at this Washington Wizards thing I tweeted out, or I put out in our chat here on Playback, and I can't get out of my head what they're doing with Trey Johnson. And I really hope they don't ruin that kid's confidence. And that's going to be really tough to do because he's supremely confident.
No, but
they keep just trotting out Middleton and sticking Trey in the corner. And they're like, you know what, Trey, just stand over there.
Again, until McCollum and Middleton are traded. I think I've said this on the show before. Until McCollum and Middleton are traded, or until it's like February, March. All of us know right now that they're not going to be in it. But once they decide to pull the plug on some of these guys, that's when you're going to see more Trey. It's not going to be early in the season. It's going to be later in the season where it's like, okay, we have all of our vets. Obviously, I think McCollum's on an expiring contract, and so I do think they're actually going to trade him. I think Middleton has a couple of years if I
am. Dude, Middleton is so washed. Watching him play actually is painful.
Yeah, it's not great. But like once they start to pull the plug on some of these guys, that's when you're going to see more Trey. It's one of those things where you got to be a little patient.
No doubt. And I can't go a program without talking about our guy, Con Knipple. He just keeps putting up numbers.
Oh, dude, Con's been a monster.
He's been so good. It's been unbelievable.
I think all three, I mean, we might have to do a show on this. Which team's rookies have been the best?
Yeah.
I think Charlotte's number one.
I mean, they've got a very, very, very strong case. Con Knipple, Cyan James, Ryan Kalkbrenner. I mean, that's been an outstanding trifecta.
All have been good in their own way. Like, all have been absolutely impacting the game. Like, obviously, they're not winning enough or not winning a ton. I mean, just because of some of the talent on the roster, I know LaMelo's missed time and he would help. But, like, just them to get, like, they're all impacting the game positively.
Absolutely.
In their own way. It's, like, kind of fun to watch. Like all three of those guys.
Oh, I love watching the Hornets play when LaMelo's not on the court. I'm like, this is fun basketball.
all three of those guys are probably going to be in the all rookie discussion. Or yeah. at least as of right now, they would absolutely, I think all three of them be on the all rookie team.
Although I can't let Cyan James off the hook for getting dropped by Jaime Jaquez Jr. on a filthy crossover. Yeah. It was great. That was great. Literally touched the earth. It was great. But yeah, man, they've been fun to watch. We're going to have to do an episode like that. We're going to have to evaluate the draft picks as a whole for 2025 and what team has come out on top in terms of how those rookies have performed thus far.
As of right now.
Yeah, as of right now. I mean, we're not
going to change.
We say this on this channel all the time. You don't know what you have in a class for like 2 to 3 years.
At least.
Even 3 to 4. So it's all prisoner of the moment stuff. It's like doing a mock draft in college basketball already. We know it doesn't mean anything, but people find it fun.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll do that. And we'll probably do a mock draft as well, begrudgingly, because it literally means nothing and it's going to be wrong. But anyway.
Are we going to have Kasper Jokic go 20th or someone equivalent to how good he is go 20th?
That's right.
Like it was realistically.
That's right. Darren Peterson, 20th. Nate Amet falls to the Miami Heat with the 25th pick in the NBA draft.
Hey, we're not going to be that
good. We might be. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, dude. You know how Heat fans are. Heat fans are like, we're going to the championship. Then we lose a game. Trade everybody.
I was going to say fickle.
Hey, fanatical is the root word of fan, and that's just how it is.
Oh, I know.
But that's all we've got for today, Matt. Tell the people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
You can find me at MPH_824_ on Twitter. You can find me at HotOnHoops.com, MountMustConnection.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com, Orlando Magic on SI. I'm doing a lot of on SI work over there.
What's SI stand for, stuff Matt?
Out. Huh?
What's SI stand for, Matt?
Sports Illustrated.
That's it. On SI. He's writing for Sports Illustrated's website. Big time stuff, Matt Hanifin. If you have Orlando Magic interest, Matt Hanifin's your guy on SI. See that? Anyway, I'm Digital Adele. You can find me anywhere social media is found under that same moniker, except on Instagram. It's Digital_Adele. Where we've been actually doing really well. The playback clips are, you know, like 2,000 to 3,000 in between there. The individual clips we've been putting up from the show, a couple hundred. So we're getting some momentum, folks. So if you want to support us, follow us on those platforms. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Every Tuesday and Thursday is the podcast, anywhere podcasts are found. We'll see you next time.